Yeah? You've forgotten it by lunchtime. And we're not called as Christians just to be informed by God's word, but we're called to be transformed. Okay? And the way you get transformed is you don't just hear it and then forget it. You actually put it into practice in some way. You discuss it with somebody, have a conversation. So one of the things that I like to do when I'm preaching is at the end, I'll leave these at the back. You can take one of these. I'll leave them on the table over there. And if I can also send a copy to Tom or to my dad if you hate paper. You can have a digital copy. So if you're in the Life Church WhatsApp group, you can have a digital copy as well. But the idea of this is just, it's a little bit of a summary of what you've heard, but there's also some reflection questions as well. And the idea is that at some point this week, that you'll do some extra reading around what we've talked about today, and that maybe this week you'll grab a coffee with somebody and just sit down and just go, hey, this is how I'm putting into practice what I've heard this morning. This is what I'm wrestling with. This is what challenges me. And the idea is that if you take the word that you've heard and you allow it to transform you in your week, not just inform you, and it was nice and we had a good time and we all went home. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we want to do this morning. So please take one of those. And if you don't want to do it with somebody, just do it on your own. And just spend some time just meditating on God, just saying, hey, God, would you speak to me? Would you transform me? And would you make me more like you? That's the one. But I don't know if you've heard this term. It's more of a recent term on social media called Maxin. Has anybody heard of Maxin?
No.
Yeah, just the young ones in the room, right? And the idea of Maxin, if you're on social media, the idea is we have things called looks Maxin. And the idea is people will go to extremes to try and look the best they can. And so for some people, that's going to Turkey and getting some new teeth and getting some hair. For some people, that's just the way I do my makeup and looking the best I can. And for some people, that's looks maxing is about getting your jaw widened and you're just trying. And the idea is there's this idea of beauty that I want. And if I get this, then I'll be happy. And this Maxin has kind of taken to like all sorts of extremes, and we have gym Maxin, we've got career Maxin. There's people who are doing everything they can to advance themselves up the career ladder, and this is kind of a fairly kind of recent thing. And the whole idea is this: is that we have this idea of what success, thriving, happiness, what it looks like. And we go to social media and we compare our lives to other people and we look at people and we go, you know, I want that. That's the life I want. And look at the car they drive, the house they have. And like, I don't know who it is that if you were to think about people in your world, that who is it that's thriving in life? Out of your friends or your family or the people you see on social media, who is it that you look at and be like, I want to be like them. I want to have the free time they have. I want to have the money they have. I want to have, they don't seem to have any circumstances at all. Like, does anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
Sometimes you look at people and you're like, hey, I like that. And sometimes you don't even do that. Sometimes, and I know you do this because I do this sometimes. Sometimes you look at people and you're like, I'm glad I ain't like that. Yeah? I'm glad I don't have that health condition. And I may not have a lot of money, but I'm glad I don't have that. And I'm glad I don't have that job. And I'm glad I have free time to do this in my job. And maybe you just compare yourself. And we've created this world where we go on social media and stuff, and we look at people, and we have this idea of what happiness, thriving, flourishing looks like. And we spend our lives chasing stuff, chasing this external world in order to make ourselves happy. And then Jesus comes along. And he's like, we're just going to redefine what happiness, flourishing, what thriving looks like. And that's what we're going to do today as we look at Matthew chapter 5. And today we're going to look at these concepts of happiness and thriving. The problem in our world a little bit is that, especially in our Western culture, what it means to be happy is no circumstances, that we have money, wealth, health, status, good job, free time, and all this sort of stuff. And our happiness and our peace is all determined by the external world. If our external world is good, then I'm thriving and I'm at peace. But the moment it's not good, and the moment it falls apart, and the moment something happens in my life, then I'm no longer at peace. And we have a world that lives like that. If it's good, I'm good. If it's bad, I'm not good. And Jesus is going to redefine for us this morning what flourishing looks like. I want you to imagine the moment. I want you to imagine the scene. Jesus has just called his first disciples, and he has thousands of people following him. It's like if you go back a chapter and you read some of the last verses, you see that there's people coming from cities all over the nations surrounding Israel. And they're all coming to Jesus, and Jesus makes his way up a mountain and he sits down. And he sits down with this crowd of people below him. And maybe, if I'm going to be honest, if I was in the crowd, I'd probably think, Jesus, maybe he's been in the sun a bit too long. Maybe he's just walked up the mountain, and maybe he's just maybe he's a bit tired. He's not thinking straight. Jesus doesn't have this. But Jesus is going to say this word, blessed. And he's going to, in your English translation, it says blessed. But the Greek word that Jesus uses is the Greek word makarios. Everybody say makarios. Okay? And makarios essentially means this. In the Greek language, we just say it as blessed. But it means happy, well off, when God extends his benefits. It means, it describes a person in an enviable and fortunate position. So Jesus is about to describe to the nations of the world that have surrounded what it means to be an enviable person. He's going to describe to them the sort of life you really want. And the life that you've really always been looking for and striving for and trying to figure out and trying to get. And this idea of happiness and this aspirations of everything you want in life. Jesus is about to give it to us on a plate. And the first thing he says is blessed. Makarios is the poor in spirit. Now I'd sit there as a disciple and think, I'd be turning to, is he alright? Like, you know, I like the healing the sick Jesus. I'm not quite sure I like the teaching Jesus right now. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I think, oh, maybe Jesus is sorry. Let's just see what it says next. Then he says, blessed are those who mourn. And at that point, I think there's definitely something wrong with Jesus at the moment, because this doesn't fit my definition of what happiness and thriving and flourishing should look like. But I want you to see something this morning in this passage. That this passage is all centered around two things. Number one, it's centered around your posture towards God. And the second thing it's centered around is God's promises to your life. They're the only two things. Jesus does not describe the blessing of life and living a blessed life. Jesus does not describe it based on external circumstances. Everything is to do with, number one, your posture, and number two, God's promises. And what Jesus wants us to do as an entire world is say, hey, fix this nonsense, fix this mess, fix this striving that you can't quite reach. And you know what? And maybe let's look at it in a completely different way. Maybe happiness, fulfillment, purpose, an enviable life that you really want is actually to do with, number one, your posture, and number two, whether you can receive God's promises in your life. That's what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is completely flipping their world upside down to say, hey, success, popularity, influence, wealth, health, good fortune, good circumstances, it lasts for a moment, but at some point it lets you down. People let you down, right? You got married, and you thought they were everything that you wanted, and then you realised they had lied to you the whole time. And they're not quite. Or maybe they were better. But people let you down. Governments let you down. Systems let you down. Institutions let you down. Money lets you down. Your boss, they let you down. And we live in a world where we're just let down constantly. But Jesus is going to give us a way of thriving that despite the chaos around us, despite the circumstances around us, you can have peace, you can have security, and you can live a blessed life that Jesus says that we can have. Everything that you've been seeking for is in this passage. There's a guy in the Bible called Joseph. And Joseph, when you look at his life, if you just read through his life, there is nothing about his life in the natural circumstances that you would go, ah, he's a blessed guy. I want to be like him. When I look at Joseph, I want to be like him. Because Joseph grew up as the favorite of his dad's sons, just like me. Okay? And he was the favorite child. Now, they laugh. But I'm the favourite of the child, children. I know. Okay? And I'm the favourite of the child. But Joseph, he grew up as the favourite child. And his brothers hated him. They didn't like him. And so they pretended he was dead and sold him into slavery. Does that sound like a life you want? Does that sound like... Well, Chris, would you like to... sell me into slavery so that you can become... No, you're way down the list anyway. You don't have to sell them all into slavery. But this is what Joseph does. He's sold into slavery. He's like, man, that's not a life that I want. And that's because you're looking at his life on the external. You're looking at what's going on the external. You're looking at his circumstances. You're looking at his issues. You're looking at the stuff that's going on. And then Joseph ends up in this house of a man called Potiphar. When he ends up in this guy's house, this guy looks at Joseph and realizes, man, this guy's like receiving from God, and like God's doing some awesome stuff in his life, and like everything around me is being blessed. And so Potiphar makes Joseph the head of the house. Different man. This is good. This is the guy that I want to be like. This guy's just like ruling in the house. It's like he's got like stuff. This guy's a rich man, and he's working for a rich man. It's great. He's like, man, I've left my annoying brothers, and I've come to this place where I'm now the number one person around the house. And then he gets lied about. Potiphar's wife says that Joseph tried to lie with him. And so he gets thrown into prison. And the Bible says that for 13 long years, there was Joseph, just in prison. And maybe at that moment, you look at Joseph and be like, nah, that's not it. That's not a blessed life. That's not a life that I'm after. That's not the sort of person that I want to be. And then Joseph's story goes on, but Joseph in the prison, he's still receiving from God. He's still hearing from God, and God is still taking him to the destination that he has for Joseph. And everything that you look on the external, you look at and you go, this is not a life that I want to live. And then the story finally goes on, that Joseph ends up interpreting the dreams of the Pharaoh, because he can hear from God and he can interpret dreams. And he ends up second in command to Pharaoh, and in the end saves the known nations of the world from a famine. And just the rest is history. And you can read it. You can actually read it in, if you pick up the notes at the end, you can actually read it this week. I want you to look at that story and say, hey, where do I look at Joseph's life and I'm trying to emulate? And so what is it that makes Joseph really blessed? But the whole journey of Joseph, you think, man, this guy is not blessed at all. It's not a life that I want. But the entire time, I see that this is the sort of person that Jesus calls blessed. If there is anybody that you want to emulate from the Old Testament, you look at somebody like him and be like, man, this guy is an enviable person that you want. Because why? Because number one, of his posture towards God was always open. No matter the circumstances, no matter the issues, his posture to always was God, was really, if you like, was verse 3 of the Sermon on the Mount. The first thing is, blessed is the poor in spirit. It's this recognition that God, like, I have nothing and I need you. And this whole time, Joseph is going through, and God is saying, that is somebody who is enviable. That is somebody you want to emulate. That is somebody you want to be like. That is somebody. Why? Because he has a posture that is towards God. He doesn't let his circumstances make him bitter. There's so many people in the Bible, their circumstances make them bitter, but there's some people, they go through the same circumstances, but it opens them up to God. And it's those who have a posture that is open towards God that God says, they're the people you want to aspire to be like. That's number one, his posture. But number two, Joseph received all of God's promises. Every promise over his life. And it took a long time to get there. He was open to God, kept receiving from God. His identity was still in what God has said about him. And so, you know, and Joseph ended up in the place that God had for him. And his circumstances sucked. They're horrendous. There's nothing about his physical life that you would want in your own life. But God promises that when we have a posture towards him, he'll take care of his promises. And I want to remind you this morning, there's one thing I want you to remember, is that if you take care of your posture towards God, God will take care of his promises. God will take care of what he said. God will take care of his word. God will take care of the things that he said he will do. And this book is full of promises for your life. It's full of things. And if you can remain open towards God, God will do some awesome stuff in your life. And one of the things that we see in the Bible is that actually circumstances don't make you happy at all. Good circumstances don't make you happy. The wealthiest person in the Bible, who had everything, 700 wives, 300 concubines, everything. The Bible says about a man called Solomon that silver was of fine dust. That's how rich his nation was. And when he gets to the end of his life, he writes a memoir in the Bible called Ecclesiastes, and he looks at his entire life, and he's got everything, every pleasure. He says, I did not withhold myself from any pleasure. And Solomon turns around at the end of his life, and he writes this memoir, and he says, the whole thing is vanity. Says the only thing is to love God. He gets to the end of his life and he's like, oh, if you love God, you have everything. You got everything. And this is what Jesus says to us today is good news. It's good news for us. You know why it's good news? It's good news because we live in a world that's striving for perfection, striving for influence, striving for status, striving for happiness. And you know what? You read this and you're like, man, I can just relax. Because if I know Jesus and I'm open towards Jesus, I have everything that I need. That I'm blessed. I'm what God says. And it doesn't mean the circumstances are different. It doesn't mean that life is any better. But it means that actually I have everything that heaven says that I need. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to sing a song in a moment. I want you to understand this. Let me read through this passage again. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see firstly the posture. You can throw it up on the screen, the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Look at these in red. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Posture. It's your posture towards God. It's your posture towards others. The only thing God cares about is your posture. How's your posture this morning? But man, for those who good posture. Look at the next bit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. And people are striving for so much stuff, and Jesus is like, hey, you're going to inherit the earth anyway. You're trying to get it now. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive mercy. They shall see God. They shall be called sons of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. You have promise over promise over promise over promise over promise over promise over promise. And the only thing God asks you to have is a good posture towards Him and towards people. I want you to notice something here. Jesus is about to go and talk about salt and light. If you have a good posture towards God that receives God's promises, that's when we become a church that becomes the salt and light in our city and in our world. It's all about your posture. For some of you here, circumstances have been horrendous, but you became bitter. That pain led you to unforgiveness. That pain led you down certain dark roads. That pain, those circumstances, and I'm not saying that any of those things are okay. There are things that have led you, and God just wants you this morning to say, hey, maybe it's time to change your posture. For some of you, you've got great circumstances. You've got great wealth, great family, great car, great, and you've got everything goes well. If you ask your boss for a raise, he gives you one. You ask somebody, you get everything that you want, and it's great. And the problem is now you've just lost your way from God, because now you're just like, I don't need God. You forgot about Him. God just wants you to change your posture. And those who change their posture and open to God, God promises, He will fulfill every good work in you. Everything. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And everything that you're looking for is found in Jesus. And if you'd open up your heart to Him this morning, He'll transform your life. And we're going to sing this song. It's called Waymaker. Many of you will have heard it. And the idea of this song is just simply, you know what, God, you can turn my circumstances around. You're a waymaker. You're a promise keeper. You're a light in the darkness. And I want you this morning, as we do this song, I just want you to change your posture. Change your posture from, God, I'm bitter, to, God, I need you. Change your posture from, God, I don't need you and I have everything, to, God, I need you. Just change your posture this morning. I believe that God will say, hey, I've got some great things for you. Your circumstances might not change. We're going to sing this song. You know, there's a guy in our church. He's not that I can tell the story. But he's not been coming long. He's been coming since mid-March. And after a couple of weeks, he said, hey, I like all this Jesus stuff. I want to become a Christian. He's like, I want to become a Christian. And he's like, I want to follow Jesus. And I chatted with him and said, hey, you believe Jesus died for you?
Yeah.
Jesus forgiven all your sins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe it. Yeah. Great. I said, done. And we prayed. We prayed for him. And you know what he said as we were praying? He was like, I just feel... I feel different. I can't describe it, but I've got so much joy, so much peace. I feel different. That's what Jesus does. Jesus gives you a happiness. None of his circumstances change. Nothing changed in his life. But as soon as Jesus comes in, Jesus wants to give you a happiness that comes from the inside out rather than the outside in. And if you continue to chase a blessed life from the outside in, it will leave you time after time after time empty, frustrated, hungering for more, desperate for more. But when you say, hey, God, would you come into my life and transform me from the inside out? God will do something so incredible in your life. You'll feel different. You'll wake up and say, I don't know why I've got a peace like this. I don't know why I feel joy like this. I don't know why I have a hope like this. But I know that Jesus has done something in my life. I was one of my favorite podcasts. The second largest podcast in the world is called The Diary of a CEO. And there's a guy called Stephen Bartlett. And then recently he was interviewing a guy, an apologist called John Lennox. And he's not a Christian, but he has a lot of Christians on his podcast. And he said to John Lennox, he's had all these interviews with different people. They talk about faith, they talk about the evidence of the faith. And Stephen Bartlett, one of the most influential people in the world, looks at John Lennox and he says, the greatest evidence for the Christian faith that I've heard from, I've interviewed a number of Christians, I've heard all the stuff, but the greatest evidence for the Christian faith is not all the other things, it's you as a person. He says, there's something about you Christians. You're full of peace. There's something in you that makes, that's the greatest evidence. You know, the greatest evidence to our world that Jesus is alive is we stop striving for stuff and just let Jesus work in us from the inside out. And you wake up in the morning and you're like, that stuff's going on. I want to have joy. I've got peace. I've got eternal life. I've got the promises of God in my life. And I don't know why. God makes me happy. I'd like to invite you to stand if you can stand. And we're going to sing this song and we're going to declare that Jesus is a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He is everything that I need this morning. And we're going to open our hearts and our lives to Him and then I'll hand it back over.